Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend over there, Avery Zaretsky. No Cody Frankel today, but we do have a great interview with Steve Gelbs. You guys are going to love it. It was fucking awesome. But before we do anything, I just want to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Avery, what the fuck is going on with you today? How you feeling? I know we're down 3-2, but your vibes are always high.
Yeah, listen, I feel good. I still feel good. Obviously, you go after last game and you sit back and you're like, how did they lose this game at home? How? And the Florida Panthers are just a good team, right? And the Rangers over our lifetime have just played a ton of good teams. And when you get to this point, when there's four teams left, you know that you're going to be playing probably the best team, right? If not the second or the third best, because the Eastern Conference has always been successful. Mm-hmm. My issue is you get people who after the game say, it's over. This is it. Here we go again. It's like, have you ever watched the Rangers before? This is ingrained in our lives. We've been in this situation.
We've got them right where we want them.
I'm sick of the complaining, and I understand it's okay to be upset, and it's okay to have questions about certain things, but to be like, it's over, this is it. All it takes is you win one game and you're back at MSG. You're back at the world's most famous arena. We know it's going to be electric if they make it back to game seven. And we talk about it a little bit with Steve, but it's like, you go into the press conferences and these guys understand that every single game is different. You flip the page. The Rangers could come out and win in Florida. We know they can do that. They did it before and they can do it again. Let's just take a breather. I understand everybody's a little frustrated and you lose two straight, but this team won two straight. So I can't fathom. I saw a Rangers jersey in a urinal last night. If you are somebody like that, if you genuinely feel that way, donate your Rangers shit. Don't act like that's the way it should be. Just have confidence. We've waited so long for this team. We had a run in 2022 against the Devils. We really thought that team was going to be great, and they lost, right? And that was okay to be upset at because the Rangers really built a roster.
23 last year.
23, I'm sorry. I'm mad.
You're emotional. You're emotional.
I'm emotional.
Okay. But I just don't want you getting chirped on Twitter for your years being wrong.
No, you build this team, and you expect them to go far, and they lose in the first round to your rival. I understand that. But look where this team has gotten. Look at all the moments. I want to get on Panarin so bad because he's had a really tough stretch, but he's had his moments in the playoffs this year, and he can do it again. So just let it happen. Let's see what happens. Game six, anything could happen. Just take a breather. Stop being so negative. Everybody needs to come together and support this team. Everyone needs to support this team. They've gotten this far. Like, why give up on them now? I understand it's been stressful and it's been frustrating, but just let it happen. You know, I just can't take the negativity.
But Avery, we talked about this on the last episode. It's all part of it, right? Like,
I know, but
you embrace
just like,
the emotion. You embrace
but it's
the
just
anger.
Like, how could you be a fan and be so negative? It just doesn't make sense.
I think that's what being a fan is.
No, but there's no reason to be.
I mean, they're playing a pretty damn good team.
Yeah, exactly. They're playing a good team. It's not like they're not trying.
Yeah, but I also, so I was wrong too. I said after Carolina, the competitiveness shouldn't get harder than that. And I was wrong because Florida is, and we knew they were better, but they're fucking good, man. Like they really are. They don't have any weakness. Like we're sitting here and we talk about Trouba and Gus and that pairing. We talk about who should play first line right wing. We talk about who should be on the fourth line. Like, I don't think Florida's saying that. Like, they don't really have many weaknesses, if any. And that's tough. But again, they're beatable. They're beatable. And that's the message I think you're trying to, you know, send out, right? Is like, this thing's possible. We've seen it happen plenty of times. We've seen it play out a lot. But to your point, too, part of being a fan is believing, right? So if you're going to quit when there's still, you know, a possible two games left, or what should be two games left, you better not jump back on if they fucking win this thing and you're throwing shit in the urinal. You know,
that's what I'm saying. It's okay to be frustrated. Like if you didn't think I went back to my apartment last night after watching with Alex and AJ,
you
and
throw
I
wasn't your grapes upset. Out?
No, but like if you didn't think I was upset last night, you're out of your mind. But like at no point was I like, this is over.
Yeah.
You win one game, you take it game by game, you win one game, and then it's winner take all. May the best team win. And Rangers on game seven on home ice, a team that has found a way to win so many times this year, the most comeback wins, in NHL history.
Franchise
history. I'm sure it's close enough to NHL.
Probably
how many they've had.
But also, I don't even know what clarifies a comeback win. If they're down 1-0 and win the game, is that a comeback win?
Technically, yes.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
But I just care too much to think that this team would just flat out quit. They're not quitting. They're playing a really good team. You just have to keep the faith. Have to understand that anything can happen. You think back to, I was asking my dad about this because he was alive in 94 and I wasn't. And I always like to relate moments right now back to.
You love the comparison. You do.
Well, not even 94, just in general, right? Like, I always like to relate, like you can relate the situation we're in right now to when we were down 3-1 in the Penguins. It's like everybody was giving up, but the real fans and the troop and the people who understand that anything could happen saw through all that and realized that the Rangers could win. And they did. And like, I asked my dad, I was like, how are you feeling, you know, after going down 3-2 and going into game six, going back to New Jersey? And he said that, you know, he was nervous, right? He was obviously nervous, but he kept the faith because, you know, you wait 54 years for a Stanley Cup and you finally have this team. You got Messier, you got these guys. And I'm not necessarily saying that the Rangers have a Messier, but this is the best core that they've had in my lifetime for sure. Yeah. So it's like, why can't you just think that, okay, Panarin's had a lot to struggle with, right? Like he just like, and I don't know if it's because he has the back issue still, because we know during the season he had the heating pad and whatnot. And I don't know. I don't want to, you know, make excuses for him, but this is the time, game six and seven, where the guys step up. We ask them to step up, you know, in that Pittsburgh series, and Kreider and Mika come out and they have the game of their life, and then they do it again in game seven. It's just like they have the talent. We know they do. We're getting the support from the bottom lines. The D can be better, and I think they will be better. And you got the goalie. Like, just have the faith. I know I'm rambling a lot, but it's
a little bit, yeah. But I'll let you do it.
But I just
– You need to let it out, brother. Let it out.
I just – And I know everybody does too. And I think the frustration comes from the care about this team. And I've invested so much in my life to this team. And I just can't fathom people quitting on them now after all we've been through this season, the ups, the downs, the freaking loss to San Jose when everyone said we were dead. After the All-Star game, we come back. Like, think back, think about how long the season was. You really want to quit on this team now after 82 games and then a full playoff run? Like, you really want to just give it all up now when we still can win a game and go back to the Garden? Like, how could you possibly think that? I don't know. I really just wish people would be more, you know, appreciative of where we've gotten and understand that we can win this game. We can win game six.
Can I ask you one question to piss you off?
Go ahead.
Do you wish we had Frank Vatrano?
No, dude. No. I just don't think it would make a difference at this point. Florida's such a good team, but
dude, I mean, not to get off topic, but like, we're still trying to figure out our first line right wing here. Like, what are we doing? You know?
Yeah, I mean, but it was working for the first. Like, you just run into a really good team, and I still think it could figure itself out. But I don't know. I don't know.
The question. Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to take to get this group to figure it out for game six, but there's someone in that locker room. There's someone who's going to step up. You know, in 2014, it was Marty St. Louis. Like there's a guy in that locker room who's going to step up. I feel it. I do.
Yeah. And something that makes me feel pretty good, honestly, is that everyone, you know, essentially outside of like the Ranger fan base is thinking this thing's over and has Florida ending it in game six, which makes me feel like in some way, shape, or form, the Rangers are going to find a way to do it. I mean, we kind of felt it going into the third period in Carolina, right? We were like, oh, fuck, this thing's coming back here. And, you know, we have to now sit through what could be one of the most embarrassing losses in franchise history in our lifetime. And, you know, I think in these moments, the Rangers prove us wrong every time. And this team and us and the fans have said all year, this team is different. But now this game six is put up or shut up, right? We talked about it before the season started. It's sink or swim. That was mainly in regard to Kako and Lafreniere, but it was also with the team. You know, I think, and I don't want to get ahead here, but I think if things don't go well, you have to really sit down and take a look at this core and ask questions. And I think,
of course, it's New York.
I think that's fair to say.
It's New York, 100%. But my feeling is this, right? You obviously want to win game five on home ice, right? But now let's think about it this way. The Rangers are going to go into game six and give it every single – play it like it's their last game of the season. They're going to give it every single thing they have to win the game. Let's just say they win game five, right? And they go back to Florida game six. Florida's going to give it every single thing they have to win that game. And I still think the Rangers would too, but Florida being that desperate probably wins game six, right? Now you're going back to game seven after a loss, and it's the same scenario as game five, right? So now the Rangers have their backs against the wall. Let's just say they go win game six. Now you're flying back home after a win. You're feeling great. Like, the Rangers really haven't had that feeling in this series of flying back to the Garden with a win, right? So now they're going to have that. So all they need to do is just win game six and anything can happen. I feel like that they'll be the more confident group going into game seven if they could find a way to win in game six.
No, Avery, you're preaching, dude. There's one thing I do want to bring up also. I wrote about it on Daily Faceoff this morning. There are two players right now in NHL history that are tied for the most goals when facing elimination. Those players are Mark Messier and Chris Kreider, 16 goals. Messier did it in 24 games. Kreider's done it in 29. And Chris Kreider, in every big moment, has been the guy to step up. Did it last round in game six. Does it in game five, even though the team doesn't win. You got to think Kreider's got something up his sleeve for game six here, right? I mean, also has a chance to make NHL history if he scores, which is cool. But obviously, it's not what we care about. But, you know, this team, and Dan Rosen wrote his article about it. There's been magic, and you have to think there's one little more spark or piece of magic left in them. And that's kind of what I'm holding on to, because every time this year when we've counted them out, they've shown up and done it. So, you know, it's hard to imagine the Rangers losing three games in a row with Shesterkin the way he's played. And I'm going to just kind of finish it at that. And go into some fan questions, unless you got one final thought here before we do.
No,
so.
I think people will probably be asking questions more of what I've been alluding to. So let's get into it.
All right. So fan questions are brought to you by Breakaway Payments. Rangers fans, if you own a business or work at a company that accepts credit cards as a form of payment, then listen up. Breakaway Payments has payment processing solutions for retail and e-commerce businesses, custom integrations, and more. So email fellow Rangers fan Brett@breakawaypayments.com. Or visit their website at www.breakawaypayments.com. That's www.breakawaypayments.com. Breakaway Payments will save your business a ton of money on those dreaded credit card processing fees. Let's go, Rangers. So let's jump right into it. And, oh, my God.
I told Alex and AJ they can come up if they want.
Cool. You know, as everyone knows by now, I don't look at the questions beforehand. So, you know, opening it up and seeing the first one. Say, how can we launch Trouba into the sun? yeah, that's pretty rough, but
yeah,
let's go with this one. This is a really good one. It should be a pretty heavy talking point. Team Ange 27. Why dress Rempe to give him 243 time on ice? Get Wheels or Johnny Broadway involved. What are your thoughts?
I think there's a method to the madness with everything, right? You put Rempe in and you think it's going to go your way, and then it just doesn't end up fitting the way you want it to, right? Like, it's worked out in some games and it hasn't in the other. And I think that in-game adjustments are what's winning teams games in the series, right? And Laviolette must have felt like Rempe didn't fit in this game. And I don't know. I think, what was it, like 245 was his total? 243. Yeah, that one I really don't have an answer to. I'm not the coach, but yeah, I just don't think they saw his effect. Johnny, I'm sure you might have a better answer to this. You talk to the guys in the locker room, but
I mean, listen, everyone knows I've been all for Rempe. I think he should be playing more. I think he's shown he can be impactful and can be effective. Nobody's going to be with that little amount of ice, and that's why we're talking about this, because why even dress the guy if you're not going to play him like that? So, listen, I'm all for Wheeler coming in. I'm all for Brodzinski coming in. You know, I actually don't think we'll see Rempe in game six. I don't.
Yeah.
I do think Wheeler should be on the top line with Kreider and Zibanejad. I do. And I think Hedl should be playing center. Like, I think Wennberg should drop down. And I don't know what they'll do. I don't know if they'll change that, but that's kind of what I would do. So if I'm making the lines right now, and again, like, I don't know if I'm playing Roslovic. Like, I don't. So if I'm picking the lineup right now, I don't know if we'll have this question, but I'm going Kreider, Mika, Wheeler, Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere, probably going Cooley, Hedl, Kako. And then who's left?
Goodrow,
Brodzinski, and maybe throw Roslovic on the fourth line. Who am I missing?
Cool. You know, you say Cooley.
Said Cooley. I feel like I'm missing someone key here, but maybe not.
No, I don't. Oh, think
Wennberg.
So.
I'm missing Wennberg.
Wennberg.
Wennberg, Goodrow, and maybe Brodzinski.
Yeah.
You know, or even Roslovic. I don't know, but that's kind of what I would do. I know Wheeler's maybe not up to speed, but have a veteran guy in there that can at least be a voice. A big body, you know, you don't have to play them a ton. They can just kind of go. And I know we were going to have this question too, 11 and 7. You know, if they don't feel comfortable with Wheeler, they can double shift somebody up there. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. But let's continue to the questions, I guess. Okay. This one, you're going to hate this one, Avery, but we'll let you answer it. Shane Bullen, who's always great. Good questions. Has the fact that we've been very much outplayed this series made the heartbreak easier? It's definitely less frustrating, I feel like. But it's still not acceptable, you know?
Yeah, I think that is a great question. But I think what's made, I wouldn't say heartbreak, but I think what's made this easier is that just keeping the faith in that they're just going to do what we said they were going to do. It was Rangers in seven from the start. And I think that... yes, they've been outplayed, but I still believe that they are the better desperate team, the Rangers. So we'll just have to see what happens in game six. But I understand what you're saying. And yeah, I wouldn't say there's been really heartbreak. It's just been frustration. Like like I said in my rant before, it's okay to be frustrated, but to give up on this team after all they've been through, like, it's just not, it's not fair.
Well, I think the point of the question also is, like, let's say the Rangers either lose in six or seven. Can you sit back and say, you know what? We ran into a really fucking good Florida team, you know, instead of last year where it's like, holy fuck, like how did we lose the Devils? You know, even though the Devils were a good team, but it was like the Rangers were in control. You know, they just disappeared.
Absolutely. And we talked to Steve about that too. And he agrees, like, that's 100%.
All right. Next one. This is a good one too. Yo-yo tattoos. Do we address the lack of Do we address the lack of forechecking instead of changing lines all the time? But you need the combinations to help with the forecheck. You do.
I think what the issue is that the Rangers are a good forechecking team. You see it a lot in the first period. They go in hard. But then when Florida turns on the gas, they get so tired that when it's time to dump it in and get a forecheck, they're tired. They have to change, right? Yeah. There really aren't that many situations in the second and third period where the Rangers could get a good F1 because the F1 is tired after being hemmed in for a minute and a half. Yeah, so it's like the first period, they're so strong. They step up on the boards. They feel like they're glued to the boards and they're stopping pucks from getting out of the zone. But as it's getting later into the games, and I don't know if it's the fatigue or the injuries. Like I said, I don't like to make excuses.
Well, it's also the endurance of Florida.
Right.
You got to give them credit. They don't get tired.
No, and they're first on the puck. They're very effective in the way that they dump it in. I love the soft dump, the light flick, and it just goes into the zone. And it was actually funny. Game four, we were talking about it. Like, how do you even police that from an offside standpoint, right? Like, when you flick the puck in the air and it's close, the refs don't really call it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
when they dump it out in their own zone, you're saying? Like,
when they start from the defensive zone and they just flick it up, right? Okay. They just flick it up. It's a soft flick because now you got a guy going.
Soft dump is confusing because soft dump to me is when you skate over the red line, chip it in the corner, and go get it.
No, I'm talking more of just like the light flick.
The lob.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so hard to defend because you got a guy skating full speed at you, staring straight at you, and you're looking up for the puck and you don't know where it's going to drop.
Yeah. Rossnick had one last night where he wasn't even looking at the puck. He was just waiting for it to get in between his feet.
Exactly. And it makes it, not only does it make it hard to call an offsides because the ref is looking up, he's not looking down at the line. And two, it puts so much pressure on the defense. And that's what Florida's really effective at. And I saw the Rangers do it a couple times and it worked. And I just wish they would do it a little bit more. But other than that, like, it's
somewhat of a panic move though, too.
Yeah,
it is.
I agree.
All right. Speaking of that, Connor Hagerty, what's the most drastic panic button move you'd be okay with for game six?
Man, I really, and it's not because of the penalty he took, but I really think they should sit Gus. He just hasn't been good with the puck. He hasn't.
He cheats offensively.
His puck management has been bad. Like there was a couple of plays where he was just fumbling it and like just he didn't have it. And I actually defended him on the penalty, right? Like
momentum off of the shorthanded goal, you have a power play, and it could have been a 5-on-3. Gustafson comes in and it takes that roughing. Is that a penalty you're okay with because he's protecting the goalie, or is there a line that he just can't go over there on that play?
It's, at that point in the game, you probably want the 5-on-3. It's understandable as a reaction out there. Players are in scrums. It's been a physical series the whole time. And so somebody jumps in there and defending a goalie, and you admire that, but you know it's also playoff hockey too. So we got to keep things under control. But I think that players stick up for each other. That's what they do on the ice.
In that scenario,
you lose.
Right, and I also think that it was a soft enough goalie interference call where the refs were immediately looking to make a matching call. 100%. I think that. Mikola was driving the net, and I think that the puck was loose, right? He had the right to make that second attempt at the shot. Does he run Igor a little bit? Yes. But I also think, like, for a guy who's been your rock the entire playoffs, if he gets ran, you got to fucking throw the guy on the ice. Like, I don't care who it is. That's just like the way I've always thought about it. And like, you're just not thinking about the repercussions at that moment. And I think Laviolette said it best, like the guys are going to protect their guys. Like it's just, it's the way it is. Would a 5-on-3 have been great for the Rangers? Yes. But the power play also just hasn't done anything. So,
let me ask you this though, with sitting Gus, bringing in Jones, what do you do with the D pairs? Do you put Miller, Trouba back together and let Jones play with Schneider? Cause they were kind of a pair for the most part when Jones was playing.
I think
Jones is true, but I don't know if you throw Jones into the fire like that. And have
I think you put it back to that because I mean, Trouba Gustafson wasn't really working and Schneider's been great. I think he's been a top three defenseman for the Rangers. Honestly, I really do. Like
not really saying a lot. I feel like though,
I know, but I mean, how could you not think that? Like he's been phenomenal on the boards, on the dump ins. He made some great plays on that 2-on-1 where he laid out and deflected with a stick. I think Schneider has been one of the bright sides for the Rangers in this series. And I really believe that he could handle that pairing on his own. And Jones is very effective with the puck. He's a good possession player on the back end. Like I really think you got to give it a shot.
Yeah, and I won't spoil it, but we have a panic button kind of conversation with Steve Gelbs that will – I don't know if it's a panic button, but it's a move that has been talked about. It's nothing crazy, but
– heavily talked about.
You'll hear it a little later on, and it shouldn't come as a surprise. D-Broms 2-5, how come it feels like Henrik 2.0 with Igor getting no help on D and standing on his head? That's because it is.
It's because it is.
Power play has gone stale. Power play was the issue with Henrik years, and Igor is playing out of his fucking mind. So that is the exact scenario that we are in.
Yep. Welcome to the New York Rangers. It's the same History tends to repeat itself, guys.
Okay, this one's interesting. Pat Bone 4. Extremely hot take. Igor has made timely saves, but some of the goals he let up seem weak.
Oh, come on. Come on. No, I'm not even entertaining that. Come on.
Well, you can make the argument that both goals that go in last night hit his pad, like he could have had them. But Forsling,
think about the other
Forsling's goal, the three guys are fucking sleeping. And then the other goal, there's no back pressure because Roslovic goes to the corner, throws it on net, and everyone's caught deep. Florida, the thing with Florida in this series is that they've had it's been way too easy for them to enter the Rangers blue line with possession. Way too easy. The gaps have been fucking horrible. DZ talked about it, I feel like, when he came on here. And they're making plays off the rush. Like, it's too easy for them. Like, Sam Bennett has 5 seconds to decide what he wants to do with the puck on the first goal, and Forsling cuts right through Fox and Lindgren and around Lafreniere and gets a backhand all alone. You know, it's just
simple. The only time you used to be saying Igor is holy shit, Igor. Like, this guy, the reason these are all one-goal games is because of him. Like, the fact that we can't even consider to blame him for anything. It shouldn't even be a thought.
Yeah. All right, next one from I can't pronounce it, but RLABT. I hope I'm so sorry if I'm botching that, which I definitely am. Hot take. Lavi pulled Igor to show the team how much they were relying on him to win. He did pull Igor a little early. He did. Down one. Well, there was what, like maybe 2.5-3 minutes left?
Yeah, but you get the ozone draw with a fresh unit, like the guys hadn't been on the ice, and we thought the same thing in the Stadium Series game where like it felt like you pulled them a little bit too early, but that was a situation where it needed to get done. You get the ozone draw, you gotta take that chance.
Yeah. Okay. Next one, JC Merlino. Is it an overreaction to say playoff Mika is the new Rick Nash?
I think you wait to see what happens after game six.
One even strength goal in the playoffs, 3 goals combined in how many games is it? 13? How many games? No, more than that. It's gotta be more than that. 15 games. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he's hurt. Cause Brent Burns cross check was brutal. And it feels like he hasn't been the same since. Because we were saying, you know, obviously Washington is not even close to the team Florida is. But we were saying after the Washington series, we were like, man, Mika's back. Like, he had a great series, and he started off well against Carolina too. But I don't know if it's the back or whatnot, but he doesn't seem very confident. And, he's got a lot to prove in game six.
All right, we'll do a couple more here. Richie McKenna, friend of the show, and we have a lot of these comments as well. I've seen enough. Jones needs to be in the lineup for game six. Rempe playing 3 minutes. Go 11-7. What are your thoughts on the 11-7? We have a lot of those questions in here.
I don't mind it. The Rangers have played with 11 forwards for a majority of time in this playoffs. And
is the Ron Duguay thing about Keandre Miller playing forward that crazy?
Yes,
it is, right? Okay.
Yes.
Because I was, you know what? I was talking to, I can't really say who, because it's someone who's close to the team, about it. And like, the more we thought about it, that would be the biggest panic move. That would be it for sure.
By far. Yeah.
But can he be a threat on the forecheck? Like, probably, you know,
he's a big body, but it's still crazy.
He's asking a guy to play a position he hasn't played.
Yeah. And Ron Duguay also doesn't know how to spell Heedle, but that's,
you know, there. For a different day.
I alluded to it before, but I do think that Zach Jones should be in the lineup. He proved to fit at certain times in the regular season, and
he's ready to go. I'm telling you, I've talked to Jonesy a lot throughout the playoffs.
Yeah,
he's ready to fucking go.
Yeah, and even if you run 7D and you start with Gustafson, and it's the same story that we've been getting the last, you know, 6-7 games. Why not? Why not give Jonesy a shot?
All right, we'll do like three more. Is AJ and Alex there?
Yeah, just Alex.
Alex, get in here, dickhead.
Yeah.
All right, next one from KM Shaw, 2839. Why not try Cooley up with 93 and 20? He's got speed and good forecheck. No one else working. awful.
You want to answer this one?
Alex, take it away.
What was the question?
Why not try Will Cooley up with Mika and Kreider?
I don't know. I got to think about that.
Yeah, see, it's tough when you're on the spot.
Great podcasting.
I love it. He said what he wants to say. There's probably going to be a lot of bleeps with it. But no, I think that
– is he still in there?
Yes.
When I saw you guys after game or in the middle of game three between the second and third, I couldn't have seen this coming.
Yeah, I mean, I can't actually believe that we're in this position again, but
yeah,
I'm also not surprised at the same time.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Man of many words, Alex Castiglia. Shout out to New York.
Blue Crew. but seriously, shout out to Alex and AJ. Incredible behind the scenes with us. Alex's first on camera appearance, I think, there.
Yes.
And I'm going to give that a C-.
Yeah, it was just all right. But no, Cooley's a great forechecker. Yeah. He doesn't stop moving his feet at any point. And I think that he could really help.
Touring touch too.
Yeah, and I think we talked about it last pod too. I said Cooley would be great, like just as the F1 to kind of get them going, because we know that Mika and Kreider, when they have possession in the offensive zone, are very good. So if you can have Cooley as that F1, and I think it would not only as a young player electrify him and give him that extra boost to want to perform at a higher level, but just to get him out with more ice time, I think would be good, because he's a 16 game player. We know that.
Yep. Avery, this is for you, and it's two different questions, but I'll make it into a two-parter.
Okay.
So the first one, can't believe we're actually saying this, but Andrew_Shapiro7, can we scratch Panarin in game six?
Dude.
And the follow-up, whoa, let me get the follow-up. Sammy Hockey 36. Avery, need a comeback for all the Rangers fans saying to trade/cut Panarin.
I mean, you don't get here without him, right? Without 10, you're not in the Eastern Conference Finals. I truly believe that he was our rock the entire season. He's the reason you get there, and you need players like that. And we know he has this elite talent. He's a top 5-6 player in the league when he's playing at his best. So you just gotta hold out faith and believe that he's gonna do something special, right? Like he's done it before in these playoffs, and I know he's gone a little bit cold, but you cannot ever take a guy like that out of your lineup. Yeah. Ever.
I agree. What did he say?
He said he thinks if anything, Mika's got to go first. But yeah, that's another guy. He's just never coming out of the lineup. Doesn't matter.
No, all right. Get him a fucking microphone if he's going to chime in. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Next one from Stefan Gross. And this is going to be a great headline. I might use this, actually. Lavia lets go or Lavia let down? Are we questioning some of his decisions yet?
No, I think he's done his job fine. I think he's given us every chance to win games, right? Like I think that when it's good, everybody loves his decisions. When it's bad, everyone hates him. Like that's just the way it's going to always go. But in terms of coaching job in New York, we know it's so hard, and I think he's done an amazing job.
And it's kind of tough to find the perfect lineup right now, right?
Right.
And it's not like he's shifting so much or panicking so much. Like it's been pretty composed, which is good. And there's no reason to panic. I think this team's confident. That's all you can really ask for right now.
Yeah.
Like with Gallant, it was kind of like full panic mode when the Rangers lost 3 straight.
100%.
So it's different. But all right, we'll do two more. This one, Chris is neck deep. One of my favorite account names on here. Who's going to be the hero in game 6? Who's going to step up? And is it going to be in overtime or regulation?
All right.
I think it's going to be one of those 2-1. You're sweating it out for the last 3 minutes. Florida throws everything at Igor, and he answers it and stays strong, and they win the game. And I'm saying for me, my hero, it's got to be the guy that I've said all playoffs long, that I think everyone's kind of said all playoffs long. That's number 16, Benny Trocheck.
Yeah, I like that pick. When the Rangers are winning games, he's probably the best player on the team in terms of points and production-wise. But – oh man, we talked about it. We talked about elimination game, guys. I still think it's going to be Kreider, man. Number 20. He's gonna solidify his legacy with this series. I think that he's gonna find a way to get them more goals in game 6, and we're gonna go back to New York. Me, AJ, and Alex are gonna fly back to New York after game 6, and we're gonna win game 7. He's also gonna score in that game too.
All right, now here's the last question. But before we get to the last question, I'm going to let you say a quick word from our sponsor, Melon.
You know what time it is, Johnny. I'm about to talk about Melon, the greatest hat in the game. I'm wearing mine right now. Melon is number one in the hat industry, and I'll tell you why. It's because of their durability. They're built to last five times longer than any other hat. They have natural antimicrobial properties, so sweat doesn't break down the hat. That's so important to me. You know, you get all the sweat stains. There's none of that. No smell, nothing. They're built for the water. They don't lose any shape if you take them in the water, and they also float if you drop them in the water. If you need to wash it, they'll come right back to life and look brand new. One big thing is the comfort and fit. Cody, you know, complains about his head being too small, this and that. Listen, Melon's got you covered. If you go to melon.com, you can go and find the size you need. Snapbacks, they offer small, classic, and XL to fit every size head. They even have a fit finder on their site to break down what size and shape best suits you. Now, this is the deal we got for you. If you go to melon.com/BlueCrew and use the code BlueCrew, you will receive 30% off your purchase. Now, they don't do this often. They rarely offer discounts, so don't miss this opportunity. This is actually your last day. The code expires June 1st, so this is your last day. Go get your Melon hats now. I've seen a ton of people wearing them. Everybody loves them. They look great. Get the Rangers Royal Blue.
Shout out David Roth.
David Roth. He got some Melon hats. Go get yours right now. Melon.com/BlueCrew. Use the code BlueCrew at checkout. 30% off. Go now.
All right. And the last question from a friend of mine, Maddie James 43. A great question too. One that I haven't really seen. Is it time to load Panarin with Kreider and Zibanejad? Laffy has proved to lead on his own.
I mean, you'll break that line.
I
don't think you break it up to start, but I think you'll see it if the Rangers go down in a late stretch. Panarin will probably end up jumping up on that line.
I don't think I would hate Lafreniere, Trocheck, Hedl. I don't think I would hate it.
No. Lafreniere's proven that he can do it on his own. And I think if you really want to get a spark out of Mika and Panarin, you maybe put them together and try to, you know, ignite that flame. But, yeah, I don't hate it. That would be another panic button move. But I think that so you need it. I don't love it.
Like, I would keep Trocheck's line together, but if we're getting creative here.
The one I was really thinking about would be, and we've seen it before, would be Lafreniere, Mika, Panarin, and then Kreider, Trocheck, and Hedl.
Yeah, I could see that.
We've seen that before. Yeah. And now that Lafreniere is playing at a completely different level, who knows, it could pay dividends for the Rangers. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting. We know that the Rangers are going to come out with 13 forwards and warmups, and we're going to be guessing. And then Johnny's going to put out his tweet, and we're all going to get nervous again.
Yep. Alrighty. Now, I guess. Well, thank you all for the fan questions. You guys are great every week. It's been awesome, and thank you to everyone tuning in again. You know, it's been a lot of fun. Hopefully, we can keep it going. But for now, let's get into this interview with Steve Gelb. So, hope you guys enjoy it. On this episode of the Blue Crew, we are absolutely honored to welcome on a guy who I actually have seen grow a lot in the media industry. I don't know if you remember, Steve. You definitely don't. You called my high school games for MSG Varsity when I was playing hockey at Syosset High School.
Is that right?
2010 to 2014. And wow. Now you are the New York Mets field reporter, Jets pre- and post-game host. It's been awesome to watch your journey as I've kind of tried to follow along. But welcome to the Blue Crew Pod. We're happy to have you, Steve Gelbs.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. That's wild, man. Yeah. I had no idea. I mean, I remember those days vividly calling those games, but
Long Beach Arena.
What'd you say?
Long Beach Arena.
Long Beach. I remember it well. Yeah.
So I've been familiar with you for a long time. You know, obviously been a crazy week for you, a busy week, but have you been able to keep up with everything going on with the Rangers with, you know, the busy Mets schedule? I know it's got to be tough right now, I imagine.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, obviously, I'm able to keep up. And, you know, one of the nice things, actually, as you get deeper into the playoffs, and this happens every year, is the game times get later for the Rangers. So you miss kind of the beginning portion. And obviously, I've got one eye on what's going on. But usually, I can catch the end of the games. Actually, funny story, in 2015, Rangers Lightning Game 7, that was, for some reason, I remember, I think it was Harvey starting. It was like the quickest game of the season, and the game ended in like 2 hours, and I sat there and I said to myself, you know what, I think I can make it to the Garden for the third period. And I literally got in the car and just floored it after the clubhouse and got in. I didn't get for the third period, the Garden just in the nick of time to watch them lose that game. So yeah, probably in retrospect, not the greatest idea. So you do have some time to watch, and certainly I've seen the end of these games, and I was at game one because the Mets didn't have an off day. I was doing stuff from the studio. It was an afternoon game in Cleveland, and I was able to go up and watch game one. So, I'm keeping tabs on as much as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, obviously the Mets are such a huge part of your life, but are the Rangers number one? Are they number one in your heart?
That's a hot seat question.
No, I tell people this all the time. Like, the Rangers and hockey was always number one, and there was nothing really close when I was growing up. You know, I've told this story many times. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Your dad, right?
Yeah, my dad.
Yep.
You know, the reason I do this job, the reason I'm in this industry, is because of that 94 Cup run and watching my dad be a part of it. Like, he was the funny story is, so he was a Rangers physical therapist from 88 to 96. And, you know, physical therapists don't generally travel with the team. They're not on the bench. But in that 94 playoff run, the first round and the third round were on Long Island and in New Jersey. So they brought all the support staff on the road. And in game six, the Messier guarantee against the Devils, Rangers are down 2-0. And Adam Graves started having back spasms on the bench. And so they didn't want to take him out of the game. They sent the runner to go get my dad. He comes down. Rangers are down 2-0. And he's working on Graves in between shifts. But almost immediately, and this had nothing to do with my dad, obviously, Rangers score a goal. Kovalev scores the goal. Messier then reels off the hat trick. And they win 4-2. And Keenan turns to my dad. Everybody's superstitious. And he's like, "You're never leaving the bench for the rest of the playoffs." So for the remainder of that run, he's on the bench. He's traveling to Vancouver. Every major moment, like if you watch, you know, when Messier has his arms raised and goes into the bench, my dad's just standing. He's the guy in the mustache, just standing in the background, clapping. Wow. He's in every major moment. And so for me as a kid, first of all, I remember watching that, and there's no cell phones at the time. So you're like, wait a second, what the hell is he doing there? What's the bench? But as a kid, it was, to me, that team was everything. I saw what that team did for me, did for the city. And I think because my dad was a part of it, working in professional sports in some capacity didn't feel as far-fetched for me as it did for others. And so I was 7 years old. And from that moment on, all I wanted to do was this. There was a period of time, probably 2 years, where I was like, I want to play in the NHL. And that became pretty evident that was not going to happen. So I said, what could be better than getting paid to go to the games and talk about them? And that's kind of how I ended up where I did.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, I got to ask this question too, and I don't know if you know or whatever, but how many beers did Dad have at that game before he went on the bench?
None that game, but okay. I will tell you this. Game seven, when they won the cup, I had gone to game seven against the Devils, the Matteau game. I was at game one of the Stanley Cup Finals, and I remember before game seven saying to my dad, like, I have to be there.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, like, you're not coming. And I actually tried to sneak into the car and like hide in the back seat and just get to the Garden. And obviously that didn't work. They weren't going to leave with me, you know, not saying goodbye to me in the house. But looking back on it now, I mean, that would have been absolutely absurd to, we have pictures of him drinking from the cup. And like,
he's can't not be babysitting on that night.
Babysitting a 7-year-old when you win the cup that night. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's understandable. I know you're a superstitious guy. You got the shoes, and if people don't know, you can explain it for a little bit. But I feel like, you know, the Rangers are going into game six. And I know I've always said on the show that the superstitions are for ourselves, right? Like, just because I don't tie my shoes the same way every night doesn't mean Kreider's going to go out and score a hat trick. But I feel like since we have you on, we might need to come up with one for the three of us. That we have to
I'm
do.
I'm not a superstitious guy.
I know, but what if it was just like a little thing that we all three of us did, and we publicize a little bit? Maybe it carries them forward. Maybe.
Hey, dude, I'm into changing the juju in any way possible. Like, there have been a couple of times I thought maybe I pop off the sneakers, but you know, you got to stick with them till the end. Right before Game Six against Carolina, I thought about switching it up, and I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't, because I think I was the reason why Kreider scored the hat trick. But I'm down, man, because I don't know. Like, I don't know what you guys think, and I'm not going to give up on this team by any stretch. You can't.
Neither are we.
But I mean, Florida's damn good.
Yeah, they're fucking
good. I left game one. I was with my dad. We were driving back after game one, and I said, like, if they lose this series, it's going to be hard for me to say, like, man, they blew it. Florida is just an excellent team. Like, they are a suffocating team. They're almost a perfect team for this part of the year, too. Like, mm-hmm. they are a perfect playoff hockey team. So, you know, I'm not giving up, but, man, they are tough.
I'm happy you said that because I basically had the same exact outlook. Like, it's okay to say that Florida is a really good hockey team. It is. And to me, I have no problem saying they're the better team. But when it comes to choking or disappointing or any of those words, our other co-host Cody, who couldn't make it today, and you know, all of our guests when we do it during the corporate 9 to 5 always trip Cody because he can't hop on sometimes. But he said, yeah, it is choking because Mika and Panarin have not been themselves and the big players haven't done it. So, you know, I always argue with him and disagree with him, but he actually put me in my place with that argument. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Like, you can't have those guys doing it. And that actually brings me to a big reason why we wanted to have you on the show because of your tweet the other day. You know, we posted it on our Instagram and I just wanted to read it. It's truly incredible that the Rangers have gotten no goals from Panarin, Mika, and Kreider, although Kreider scored the other night. Have Adam Fox playing on one leg and are 0-8 on the PP, yet somehow are up 2-1 in the series. Boy, have Igor Gaudreau, Igor Lafreniere, Igor, and Igor stepped up. And I thought that was fucking hilarious. It did great on our Instagram. But that brings up another good point. If there's one goalie you want right now that can just win you one game in game six, it's Igor Shesterkin. Yep. And I think any Ranger fans who don't have faith, you can at least kind of lean on that. But I want to bring this back to tomorrow night. And we're recording this Thursday. The Mets play tomorrow at 4:10 p.m. How are you going to do your job with the anxiety and nerves going on prior to game six? I mean, what you got plans after the Mets game to go watch game six?
Yeah, break a lot of traffic laws and get back as soon as I bought it. I've gotten pretty good at it. I've gotten pretty good at separating. Actually, it was funny. I was talking to Howie Rose 2 years ago, I think. It was 2 years ago where they went to triple overtime game one against the Penguins, right?
Yeah.
The first
round. Yeah, 2022.
And so I was talking to Howie the next day, and I said, man, now this was game one of the first round of the playoffs. And I couldn't sit down. I was dying. I was walking back and forth. I said, how on earth could you have called game seven against the Devils in 94? Like, how could you have possibly functioned? And he said to me that it was actually easier for him to call the game. So he would, I can't remember the exact arrangement, but he would like flip-flop periods, so he wouldn't call the entirety of the game at that time. And he said, when I was calling the game, it was a lot easier for me. When I was watching it and like couldn't focus on it and was pacing back and forth, that's where I really struggled. And so for me, like when I'm doing the job, when I'm locked into doing Mets, you can't let your mind wander. You got to pay attention. And so especially tomorrow, Daryl Strawberry's getting his number retired. Like, yeah, there's a lot right. that we have to do.
Big day. But,
yeah, it's a big day. But
he was there last night too, Daryl, at the game.
He was at the game. He was at the Ranger game. Yeah. But the second, and I mean the second, that game ends and I'm out of the clubhouse, I am like a bat out of hell in my car, just praying to God I don't get pulled over. I mean, it's actually funny.
There's no cops listening to our show. What's your license plate?
when I got back the other day, so what was it? It was game three, right? It was the Wenberg overtime game. So I got back for the third period, and I have a son that's going to be 5 in a week and a half, and I've got a daughter who's 2.5, and I'm trying to watch this game, and they're like climbing over me, and I don't know how. Like I was shaking the whole time. I don't know how I even communicated with them. And I was able to get, you know, my wife realized at some point that she was like, kids, come on. Like, why don't you come outside? Like when Wenberg scored, I think I scared them half to death, but yeah, I'll get back and I'll watch the majority of that one tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you're keeping the faith as well, because that's my biggest gripe right now is that we've seen, and you've lived through it, right? Your dad worked for the 94 team and you understand what it means to go through these progressions where it's like they're playing a really good team, right? Like the Rangers, I thought came out great in the first last night and they played well, but it seems like the fatigue, Florida's just such a healthier team right now, and that they're finishing games stronger. What do you think the Rangers need to do in game six to really take it to them and hold it to them, if you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, listen, I think given what we've seen, it would be naive to think that by the end of regulation, the Florida Panthers will not be the better team.
Yeah.
And so the question really becomes, you know, the Rangers have started strong two straight games, actually, and they have been unable to really capitalize on enough of their opportunities. So for me, you got to build a little bit of a lead. It can't just be the one goal. And then I know Larry Brooks has written a lot about this, and I do understand that there's a fine line at this point in the season between panic and making the correct adjustments.
Yeah.
But, you know, this team, let's be real. One of the reasons why everybody's been so down on their prospects nationally this season is that they're so reliant on special teams, and the power play has not been there. And I think if you look at reconfiguring this power play for tomorrow and putting Lafreniere has been their best player on the top unit,
preach.
I think it's a really justifiable move to make, especially when you consider, like for me, the move would be to move Mika off of it and put Lafreniere there. And the reason being, not just that Mika has struggled in this series and for the you know, a decent stretch now. If you watch these power plays, at least the ones that I've seen, Bobrovsky knows, as everybody knows, that Mika is going to be set up at the top of the circle and he's going to rip a one-timer. And the difference between Bobrovsky and a lot of the other goalies is that his lateral quickness is good enough that he's going to get there and he's going to be there. And so he's kind of neutralized what makes Mika effective on that power play. And so for me, I would make that switch for tomorrow, because if they don't have their power play going and they can't capitalize on those opportunities, A, it's going to be hard for them to build a lead, and B, it's going to be difficult if down the stretch Florida starts to take over again and things get tight, it's going to be difficult for them to find a way to pot one in. So that's what I would do.
It's right. A good point. And I said it on my other show this morning, like I was preaching for Lafreniere to get looks earlier in the regular season, but the difficult question was, who do you take off? There's no one really that deserves to necessarily come off. But now, you know, a question that's asked all the time, or I guess more of a statement, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But this thing's fucking broke. I mean, let's be honest. They have two shorthanded goals in this series. They have one power play goal. They're 1-for-14 on the man advantage. Like, in what world is that going to be successful? And I don't think it's a panic move at this point. You know, Lafreniere, if you had to pick out one player on the Rangers, maybe outside of Vinny Trocheck, and I'm not counting Igor Shesterkin, that looks the most confident out there, it's Alexi Lafreniere. I mean, the guy's swagger is at an all-time high right now. And to me, to your point, Steve, it's not a panic move.
No.
It's strategical. But again, before last game, I was against it just because Mika didn't feel like he had his confidence, and I think taking him off would just make that even worse. So I was battling that a little bit internally. But I think at this point, backs against the wall, it's a move you have to try. At least try.
Right. Well, I mean, what was the overarching criticism last year of Gallant? And it's very, very different, but it was he didn't do anything in that Devil series to change things up. And listen, you know, Laviolette's been remarkable, and he has pushed a lot of the right buttons, and he's trying to make a lot of things happen in this series without completely blowing it up, which I respect and I think is the right way to approach it. But I also think, you know, you've seen really, even when Lafreniere was struggling to establish himself, like, this dude's a 16 game player. This dude raises his level in the playoffs. He did when he was on the kid line. You know, he is that type of heavy power forward with skill that you need. Mm-hmm. And so now when he's blossoming and he is truly just as confident as he's ever been, and really at times dominating, you've got to find a way to get him the most opportunity to score and to make something happen. And so listen, this is not to pile on Mika and it's not to pile on Panarin,
sure,
but like they've on the flip side proven, unfortunately, the opposite. Like their game does not translate nearly as well. And so right now, backs against the wall, season on the line, you've given that unit enough of an opportunity to try and make something happen here. You've got to switch it up.
Yeah, you don't want to deter their confidence, but at this point, how many chances can you give them, right? The power play is something that the Rangers have been heavily relying on, and it needs to get going. And this is obviously a must-win situation. So, Yeah, I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree more. That's a quote from our boy Cody.
Yeah, no more. No more. Is it a must win or not? It is.
What did he text us today, Johnny? He said the Rangers have to win.
Boys, they need this one.
I also was looking on my phone. So last year I got these Rangers custom shoes, and I think it takes two to light a fire under their ass. So I will be wearing these tomorrow.
I'll bring mine over. Give me one.
I have some too, actually.
I'm going to be wearing them tomorrow night. I think that's the move. I think that's the move. Johnny, you wear those tomorrow. I'll wear mine, and Steve wears his. I think that's the move.
That's it.
My only issue is if they win, I can't wear those in the press box on Monday night, or else I'll get fired.
No, you get a bag. You get a bag, and you just swap it out.
Swap it out?
Yep.
All right, maybe we can
do that. That's all it is. That's our move right there.
Fair enough. I might be watching from the couch, though, because I'll be too stressed. So I'll have the shoes on the couch if that counts.
Deal.
But, Steve, I got a fun one for you here. And it might be – I don't know if it's difficult to answer, but, you know, I try to – what's the word I'm looking for? Not like stir the pot, but I try to be a little creative in some of the questions I ask. They come out stupid every now and then. But I think this one has some merit to it. So I know you follow the Rangers closely. You work with the Jets. You work with the Mets. I'm not going to include the Knicks on this, but – when it comes to legacy talk, you know, this playoff run has been, for the Rangers, a big legacy thing. And I kind of want you to rank from 1 to 3 these three players and what a championship in New York would – who would have the bigger legacy. Yep. So for the Rangers, Artemi Panarin winning a Stanley Cup, Aaron Rodgers, who's been a proven winner, winning a Super Bowl with the Jets, or Pete Alonso with the New York Mets winning the World Series. 1 to 3, which one – who would be – you know, I guess for lack of a better term, who would have the statue first?
That's a really good one. I mean, for the statue, it would go to Pete, obviously, because he would be, in that scenario, probably a lifelong Met. And, you know, he'd hold every record imaginable. Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, pure legacy, though, I would probably go with Rodgers. And I would –
like the Messier factor, right?
Yes, that's what it would be. Like, for me – so the Mets – listen, the Mets aren't winning a World Series without Pete Alonso being a significant part of it. But – there's going to be a lot of other pieces that are going to have to fall into place for them to do that, whether it's this year or in the future. If the Jets win the Super Bowl this year, or next year, it's going to be specifically because Aaron Rodgers elevates that team to a level that, you know, they haven't seen in forever. And so for me, it is almost identical in that scenario to Messier. And I think, you know, in the way that Messier won the majority of his cups with Edmonton, but is remembered as a Ranger, I think in that scenario, I don't know if Rodgers will be fully remembered as a Ranger. Won't, as a Jet, but it'll be right up there, and that'll be, you know, because it's, listen, I've been around, it's been 13 years since I'm doing post game with a player that was on the last roster that the Jets made the playoffs, you know, like it's ridiculous at this point. The drought feels very similar to what the Rangers had gone through, in some respects even worse. I mean, it's been that long, and they haven't even been competitive at times. So if Rodgers is able to come in and turn this thing around, for me, it's him.
Yeah. I also think, you know, I left the Knicks out because I think if Brunson does it, it's automatically, I mean, this is a Knicks city.
It's a Knicks city.
He trumps all. But no, it's interesting that you say that too. And another thing that, like, I kind of wanted to bring up, you know, when we talk about, I don't want to play like devil's advocate kind of, you know, we're talking about believing in this team in a game six and whatnot, backs against the wall and all the 94 comparisons, but there's no Mark Messier on this team. You know, and that's the one thing where I'm like, ah, fuck, I don't know if they've got it. Like,
yeah, there's no Messier in this team. Very few teams have a Messier. The real issue for me is the Brian Leetch is playing with one leg. You know, Fox is the Brian Leetch, and you can just tell. I mean, it's a shame. You know, it actually, not to keep harping back to like 2015, but it reminds me of that run too, where I think 3 of the 6 starting defensemen were clearly injured, and then I think they all or two of them had surgery in the offseason. Like, just it gives you that it's okay to lose, but man, like, what if? And for me, you know, it kind of goes back to your question about Panarin with the legacy talk too. It would be such a shame if they go out with him lacking the type of production that he's lacked this round, because I think Panarin, I don't even think it's a question that Panarin has been the most successful free agent signing the Rangers have ever had in their history by a lot. And it would be a real shame, especially after what he went through this offseason and the clear determination he came into this year with to be a different player, to be a more assertive player, to, you know, be a guy that shoots the puck more, to have that type of season and then to have it kind of fall flat when it mattered most, it's all anybody's going to talk about. And that would suck. Like that would really
yeah.
suck.
He doesn't deserve that. I mean, he doesn't deserve that. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
and you know that's what's going to be the takeaway. You yeah. know that's going to be the narrative.
I mean, even – and sorry, Avery, I know I've been jumping on here.
No, it's okay.
But, like, I feel a part of me, if they lose in six, the narrative is so much worse than if they lose in seven.
Yep.
You know, like, just get it to seven.
Yep.
Just give it a chance. And that's – to me, that's the biggest shame of everything is that all these – and you know better than anyone, all these narratives, you know, it's just – it's hard to like, stop them.
Get it to seven. We'll have our yeah. sneakers on. Get it to seven.
Yeah.
They can get it to seven. You know, yeah. like they can get all these people are like, they can't. Florida's a better team. Florida's a better team, but Florida doesn't have Igor either. You know?
Yep.
And like as much as Florida has Florida has dominated this series at times, every single game, including game one, could have gone the other way. You know? Like Schneider doesn't hit the post. Lafreniere doesn't tip it in. It's game one is totally different too. So as much as they've been dominated for stretches at a time, they've been right there every night. So to say that they can't win game six is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Rangers are the better desperate team and they just haven't played desperate enough yet. Like I think now with their backs against the wall and what we've seen over the years, I really do feel like the leadership group will come together and find a way to win game six. And then game seven is just, you know, may the best team win. And I genuinely think that the Rangers can be the best team.
Yeah.
Johnny, what's been the feeling when you've been in the locker room recently?
I mean, last night I was only in Mika's scrum and Mika's a very soft-spoken guy. And obviously I think he's aware of what's being said. It's hard to say he felt confident, right? You can kind of sense it in his voice. You know, I've talked to Fox a lot throughout the series. He's, you know, Foxy's a pretty level-headed guy, always has been. He's still pretty confident. He knows. And listen, these guys always know each game has its own story. Nothing carries over from game to game. And it's like you said, Steve, it's one game. It really is. It's one shift. It's one play. One thing. Like, you know, we haven't even talked about the Erik Gustafsson play. Like,
yep.
You know, they get a 5-on-3 there. Who knows what we're talking about today, right? So all it takes is one thing that can happen, and this whole thing shifts, and we're coming back here for seven. But the locker room has been – you know, it's tough. It's a tough spot.
Yep.
And Florida's locker room is just so confident and so much swagger. And they're a fucking fun group. I got to say it. They are fun. And that's the scariest thing too, is like they're at their highest peak right now. So we'll see. But I was going to make a joke too and say, all it takes is one beat reporter to say their team had a players only meeting prior to game six. They're fired up. You know, everyone rallies around the players only meetings, right?
Like players only meetings. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Mets had a win last night after the players. That's to me always the funniest thing.
Oh, they did one last night? Did they?
They won. Oh no, they did one. So Wednesday they did one after the game for like
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And then I said, man, like it's all well and good, but you better win the next day. Because if you don't if you fall flat the day after the players only meeting, then it's like, where do you turn? But yeah
that's hilarious. Did. I only have one more thing for you, and it's actually a request from a friend. One of my good friends, Derek Caruso, has Mets season tickets, goes to every game, and tags you in his Instagram story every game. All he wants is for you to repost it once. That's it.
What's his name? Derek Russo?
Derek Caruso. I think his Caruso. Instagram handle is D_Caruso10.
All right. Is he going tonight?
I'll have to ask him, but just check your message requests every game. It's there.
All right. You got it. All right.
Any final thoughts before we let you go, Steve? We really appreciate your time today.
No, man, I appreciate it. This was fun. I mean, the only final thoughts are what I've just been saying. Like, if there was ever a team to not lose faith in, it's this one. Mm-hmm. And if it does, you know, if it does happen that they lose this series, I hope people
are nice.
Hope people not like you can be disappointed. I'm gonna be listen. I'll be devastated. This is the most fun I've had watching a Rangers team in a long time. And this is a group that I just genuinely enjoy watching and listening to. So you can be disappointed, but like they didn't blow it. They played a damn good team. And like, there's a lot to look back on if they lost this season and be proud of if you're a Rangers fan. And I know it's tough. Like, I know, listen, 30 years, like you're starting to, you know, I was thinking about this the other day too, because when I remember when I was in, when I was 7 years old in 94, listening to people talk about how long it had been since 79. And now that would be like 2009. You're like, man, that stuff goes fast. Like 30 years prior to 94, JFK had just been assassinated a few months earlier. So it's been a long time, you know?
Like, yeah, wow.
Put that in perspective, right? And so at some point, it's not about moral victories and this and that. But I think, like, they gave us a lot. And they deserve to be recognized for that. And I also think you come away with it from it saying, like, okay, you know, Lafreniere is now that dude. Like, there's hope for the future with that as well. There's questions about some of the other top guys in these moments, but like, I don't know. I don't want it all to be a negative narrative, because it shouldn't be. This team was awesome. It really
was. We got the shoes. It doesn't matter. It's happening. They're winning.
Right. I'm already doing the obit. Like, we got the shoes. We're good.
I'm not kidding. I'm gonna tweet at both of you. I'm gonna do a shoe check before the game. I know, Steve, I know you'll be wearing them, but Johnny,
I'm a flake.
don't you back out on this one, Johnny.
I won't. All right. Thank you so much, Steve. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. And,
hope everything goes well with the Mets tonight. I know it's been tough.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Later. Big thank you to our new friend, Steve Gelbs. That was awesome having him on. I feel like we've known him forever now, honestly, after just chatting with him for a half an hour or so. But the vibes are high with us three. We feel good. I will do my best to have the sneakers on tomorrow.
No,
night.
It's not do your best. You will wear those damn sneakers, John.
I'll wear the fucking sneakers.
Yeah, you will.
But any final thoughts before we let it go?
Man, I didn't mean to rag on people before. It's just, I really just want people to keep the faith, man. Yeah. Like we've talked about it. It's always been Rangers in seven. Just give this team the flowers that they've earned the entire season, and just let them control their own destiny. Don't give up on them now. It's not worth it. We went through 82 games of a regular season. We've gotten this far. They're 6 wins away from a Stanley Cup. Like, just let it happen.
I saw Mikey C tweet it today. We got a game scheduled for June 1st. Enjoy it.
Yep.
Enjoy it. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. I think we're going to have another one. Hopefully it's a good vibe show on Sunday with Michael Delzato again, and possibly...
We'll just leave it at that. Potential. I'll tell you this. If the Rangers win game 6... it'll be a game 7 level guest.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. That was good. We'll leave it at that. Do Cody's job for him and let's wrap it up.
LFGR, baby. Let's go.